Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Thursday edition of the DC. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is Thursday. It's the DC Sports Rundown of Thursday. Ooh, I'm so lifted. It's just been a great day, and I'm glad to say that I've been a part of something that I didn't know I was going to be a part of. But anyway.
Now, you got to go into that, man. You can't just drop that in there, man, because you had a nice day, man.
Yeah, I'll go into that.
Start with that.
I will. But first, I can't go without introducing my compadres, the one that is known as the Fat Poet, did the same thing on Tuesday night, pulling the double, and then went back again last night and put it all back out there again, the Midnight Rider.
What's going on, folks?
You got the man that keeps the lights on. He is what they call in between Luther, because he will sing these ladies out their panties, the Boss BJ.
In between. What's going on, people?
What's up, man?
How y'all feeling tonight?
Yo, I'm ready to go. I've been thinking about this discussion all day, man. And like nuggets just keep dropping out of the sky. I don't know about this one, man.
Well, yeah, I don't know. This going to be one where we on different sides of the fence. But before we get to that, today I had the chance to represent my fellow gentleman and lady of the Sideline Junkies. And I was inside of Nationals Park. Not only inside, I was on the field in the dugout. I sat my ass in the dugout and propped my feet up and chilled while I was sitting there. So let's just go ahead and say that. I'll share that the picture from the dugout is the one that I forgot. I'll make sure I share that after the show's finished. But that was the start of my day. And I knew it was going to be a good day because I woke up this morning. I had already figured out what I was going to wear. I was like, you know, I'm going to go all black. I put on the good khakis this morning. You know, the good khakis, you know, classic cuff and a crease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you supposed to wear khakis? The only thing I was missing was the chucks. Cuff and a crease, went to work. Just went out then, you know, giving out business cards and everything. But I was able to be inside of that stadium, in the bowels of that stadium, to see things that I had never seen before. And it's a really, really nice stadium. I will say this to BJ, the gentleman that I was talking to, we were asking about which seats, and the exact same seats you and I were talking about, he was like, never sit in those seats for a day game because you will cook.
What are you talking about? You sitting on the third base side.
Yeah, third base side.
First base side is where the sun come in.
Oh, no.
First base side is where the sun
comes in. It's the first base? Okay. Right, yeah, because the sun going down.
Yeah, because I used to sit in 136. That was a bad idea for a day game. Yeah. Night game is perfect, but day, nah.
Yeah. He said you will cook right there. And then I also found out the hotel that overlooks the stadium is about $600 to $700 a night.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God damn, I need to own me a hotel that's around a stadium, man. I could charge money like that. Shit. I'm making money hand over fist.
Yeah, they do. That's why you got all them joints down there now.
Yeah.
They done built in like 6 or 7 hotels.
And I will say this. I will say this. I don't know what she did to my computer here. All right, there we go. I got the full screen. I will say this. It was a great experience. I can't wait because in the coming weeks, I want to try to get everybody. You know, we're going to do one with the kids, and then we're going to do one with the adults. Let's do 2 games this year before the end of the season because tickets are cheap. So adults, I think we'll wait for later on in the summer. We take the kids to a night game, get them some nachos, hot dogs, half smokes. Things like that, but I can't wait to experience a game inside that stadium.
It's a blast, man.
Getting to the meat and potatoes of tonight's show. Let me go. Yeah. This deserves its own banner, and I'm gonna go ahead and give it that. We had some developments after we got off the show on Tuesday. That happened. Myself, I wasn't too happy about it. Tommy Shepard, GM of the Wizards since 2019, is no more. He is out of a job. He is done. Over that four-year period, 129-79 with one playoff appearance. Start with the boss, BJ. Your thoughts on this? And mind you, we're not going to hold back. So if you expect a good, clean show and us not to go off, this ain't going to be that type of show because I got a lot to say and so do these gentlemen. So, boss, BJ, I'll start with you.
I'm not going to tie y'all up too long. Yeah, no, I always thought Tommy Shepard kind of did what he had to do with the circumstances and the tools he had to work with. But it's pretty hard to change a franchise, a bad franchise, around in 2 years. It's hard to change, you know, that cloud that hangs over the Washington Wizards and how they've operated and the morale in that building in 2 years, in two seasons. It's also extremely, extremely hard, almost damn near impossible to win and be in the playoffs if the guy you paid a max contract to never plays. Now, for as much shit as I give Bradley Beal, I think he played 52 games this year. If he plays 70 games, they make the play-in. If he just plays 70, he makes a difference in a couple games because we're not talking about them winning 16 games. They were 36. They were a few games out. I know they got eliminated like a week or two before, but they weren't that far off. So we're not talking about a 10-win, a 15-win team. We're talking about a team. I mean, Porzingis was hurt. Kuzma didn't play sometimes. So I just don't understand how Tommy Shepard falls on that sword. I just don't get it. I really don't, and I know the Midnight Rider says some nuggets been dropped, so I'm interested to hear what he has to say. But it's typical. It's just typical Wizards. Like this is how they run business, and this is why this franchise will always be where it is right now. What y'all got?
Disagree just a little bit on your sentiment about how they do business because this is probably the shortest leash that Ted has ever had in this scenario. I mean, there's some things that just bother me. I'm not a Wizards fan, but I always root for the home team to be successful. And one stat that came out today, and this has been out for a minute, but one of the biggest stats that kind of stood out was since Bradley Beal got his second contract, no player drafted in the first round by the Washington Wizards made it to their second contract with the Washington Wizards. That tells me that's a failure in the player personnel side. It tells me we're drafting the wrong people. We're getting the wrong people. Go ahead, KG. I'm not going to monopolize this. Go ahead.
And have been for years. This isn't a Tommy Shepard. This is a historic organization failure of always getting the wrong person.
I'm going to tell you something, and I had to pull my bat out because I'm a little angry right now.
Okay.
Tommy Shepard is trying to fix 16 years of mismanagement. How do you fix 16 years of mismanagement in 4 years? Huh?
Well, the Hawks did it. The Hawks made it to the championship. They fired their coach midseason, and that team made it to the championship round. That was a team that they only been in place for 2 years, maybe three.
And here's my thing. Where have they been since then? They've been a middle-of-the-road team.
They made the playoffs.
And didn't the Hawks tank?
To get Trae Young.
And I think that's – I'm not going to say tank, but the Wizards have never officially tanked. To get a top two, are we in agreement? If you don't have that top three pick, unless your scouting department and your GM is, for no pun intended, a wizard. The top three picks are franchise changing. if you got anything past that, because these drafts are they've been weak the last however many years. So, you know, if you don't get that top three, the Zions, you know, of the world, you're not moving the needle on your franchise. You can get as many role players as you want. And you know, for who they drafted, let's not pretend Rui Hachimura staying here would have changed anything. Because it wouldn't have. He is what he is. He's a role player at best. You know, and the Lakers got him, good riddance. He got his off days, his mental health days in Los Angeles. We got enough problems here. But this is, I just don't even know what to say. It's so frustrating. And I said it, I've said the probably the last two podcasts, I'm starting to think Steady Teddy is the problem, along with number three.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, go ahead.
Let me say this. Now, I said 16 years. In 16 years, Ernie Grunfeld was 568 and 724. He drafted the likes of Jan Vesely. Okay? Drafted the likes of hold on, because I got this all pulled up. Oh, give me the Wizard stuff, baby. Give me the Wizard stuff. Jan Vesely. He traded Markieff Morris, signed Ron Baker. He let Kelly Oubre and Gary Payton II get out of here. Signed Chasen Randle. Just the amount of names that Ernie Grunfeld brought in this building is absolutely atrocious. Tommy Shepard himself drafted Rui Hachimura. He signed Satoransky, and Sato played really, really good here. They had Isaiah Thomas in the building. Let him go.
Because he stunk and he hasn't played any year since.
Yeah, I give you that, but they let him go. You bring in Shabazz Napier.
What are you doing?
Hold on. You bring in Rolo, my man Robin Lopez, Davis Bertans. You draft Denny Avia. You trade John Wall up out of here. You sign Alex Lynn. You sign all these players, and you still don't win. You had the EBT 3, okay?
Oh, come on. KG, you know you're supposed to be making a case.
Hold on. I'm getting ready to bring it around to that. Hold on.
Because you're not making a good case that Tommy Shepard should be kept right now with his name.
Hold on. Let me bring it around.
Okay.
Now, with these moves that he made,
mm-hmm.
already being handcuffed, he's trying to make move. He had better drafts in 4 years. His four drafts compared to Ernie 16. And Ernie only had one good draft, and that was when he drafted John Wall. His four drafts produced more talent than Ernie 16.
Give me those four players.
Those four players. Hold on, let me pull that up. You want it? I got it. Like I said, Hachimura was one.
Uh-huh. You traded him.
Where we at?
Avia's
two.
Kispert's
three. That was
Johnny Davis.
And out of all three of those, out of all four of those, only one's not on the team. Johnny Davis still here, correct?
Yeah, he's still here.
Okay,
most of the time in the G League.
Okay. So okay. You got something developing.
What?
You got something. Look at the players that fucking Ernie brought here.
This isn't the crock pot, and he's not being tested against what Ernie did. He has to create his own path.
Hold on.
We're not trying to slow cook a playoff contender. Look, and y'all will be disappointed if y'all didn't read the presser, because the presser got some information than it, the press release, that y'all not going to like. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What you're not going to tell me is that him trying to develop from the bottom up with the scraps that he's given every year, you put together – What more can he do? Just tell me that. What more can he do?
Well, what did he do? He said he went and got Dinwiddie. He's gone.
I wonder why he's gone.
He went and got Harrell. He gone.
I wonder why he's gone.
Everybody got Will Barton.
One person.
Oh, you went and got Will Barton. He gone. You went and got KCP. He gone. You got Morris. What's his name? Monte Morris that plays point guard. He ain't doing much. Like Ernie's, you're making a sacrificial lamb case for a guy that's done middling things. He is the true essence of mediocre.
Okay, let me put it to you this way.
You're three. Hold up. I know y'all remember this show because I came on and Anthony Gill was in the starting lineup one night, mm-hmm. and you had four first rounders sitting on the bench. I don't care about the fit. I don't care about the height advantage. I don't care about none of that. My four first rounders cannot sit behind Anthony Gill. I don't care what's happening. I don't care if Anthony Gill gave the coach a G or Invictus watch or whatever he gave him for the game. It's no way that is permissible. Not when you're saying you created this team, a good basketball team that's supposed to be in the playoffs. But we're playing Anthony Gill? That's what we're doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy Shepard, we want to keep him.
If I got a car and I sold you a car that I dogged out for 16 years, are you going to be able to make that car run better without money? You got to fix it piece by piece. Are you going to be able to do it in 4 years? When you got problems all over the place with the car, are you going to be able to do it in 4 years?
Here's the thing. You get the car and you it's a brand new engine in the car. It's a brand new engine in the car. And after 200-300 miles, you find out that brand new engine is a lemon. And I'm talking about Bradley Beal, because in his four seasons, I don't have any stats in front of me. I'm driving. Brad ain't played a whole season.
No, he hasn't.
Brad, and like I said, if Brad played 52. If he played 65, I'm not even going to ask that much.
That's not a true statement.
If he plays 65 games this year, the Wizards make the play-in game.
So they don't. Here's how it breaks down, because they extrapolated this out in the 35 games that the EBT3 played together. I think they were 16-19, and when you push that out over an 82 game schedule, they were something like 38-47. So they would have just missed the playoffs. And my math's off there, 38-42, but they would have just missed the playoffs even in that scenario. And that's the problem, is the EBT3 is just failing them. And yes, you say Brad's a lemon, but then Tommy turned around and extended them. So that falls back on Tommy.
But that sword should also fall on Ted, because he has to get permission.
But you got
Ted's money.
All right, but you got to always remember this: Ted's got a prototype. Ted's prototype is he wants to sign his star and keep his star in the building for as long as he possibly can. He did it with Ovechkin, gave him a 13-year deal. So in Ted's eyes, this is his Ovechkin on the basketball side. So he's staying true to his model. Don't frown their face. I'm telling you the prototype and the thought process. I am not comparing.
I know you're not.
Apples and apples. I'm just saying Ted likes to have a foundation person or two, because he understands one part of this in the marketing side. If you got kids walking around your building with Bill jerseys, with Wall jerseys, that's your future. That's how you bring your next generation of fans along. But when you don't have that player, i.e. the Washington Commanders, who haven't had a transcendent player in a long time. They lucky they got McLaurin, because that's who will become their face of the franchise. But they haven't had a face of the franchise. Like, you look, go in D.C. right now, you look and find Commanders jersey. You see Chase Young and McLaurin. That's it. And from the last 10 years, you might see a couple RG3s in there, but that's 10 years ago. So that's the problem. Ted wants somebody to be the foundation of what he's trying to build here. And unfortunately, again, we'll reference the press release later on. I don't see no sunshine. Ain't no sunshine. So, but I'll explain that later. Go ahead, KG.
It's crazy you bring up Ovechkin, because I think they would have ran Ted out of town if he would have let Ovechkin leave. Ovechkin's getting ready to go down arguably as the greatest hockey player ever. Because he's in that rare air of Bobby Orr, Bobby Hull, Wayne Gretzky. He's in that rare air right there.
Right. And he's already DC's greatest athlete.
Right. I'll give you that. No argument from me. No argument there. We can agree on that.
Okay.
thinking that Bradley Beal is going to be anything like that. Not if Ted has a type and you bet the farm on Bradley Beal.
He just did it.
Yeah, he did. And what did it do? Because if everybody has a problem with Brad, Spencer Dinwiddie, Montrezl Harrell, like this dude's supposed to be your enforcer. This cat's supposed to have your back. How the fuck you got a problem with him?
He done, oh, hold on. He done already had a, wherever he was now this year, he had a fight going back to the locker room. So that's not paint Montrezl Harrell out to be a saint or anything like that.
No, he's not. He's not a goddamn saint, but still, you needed that ferocity. And it seems like when anybody comes to town and they don't back down, they get ran out of town. And it's always one common denominator. But for Tommy Shepard to be fired, which is going to be a trickle-down effect, unfortunately, Wes Jr. is going to be fired. And you fire a guy that's trying to make a change. And I think that's absolute bullshit. I think the firing was bullshit. Because you...
excuse me. I got something here. And I quote, one of the easiest problems I have to solve is talent playing with talent. This was said on April 14th, 2022. These words were uttered by the man named Tommy Shepard. Did they make the playoffs last year?
No.
Did they make the playoffs this year?
No.
So if you the owner and you then picked up an old sports page and you see one of the easiest problems I have to solve is talent playing with talent, but you done had to trade Dinwiddie, you done had to trade Harrell, you traded KCP, you had to trade, you cut Barton. Where's the easy problem, man? He ain't getting the easy part done. He telling you already. He telling you to fire him. He asked me to fire him. His own words. Sorry. The sideline junkie CEO came in and gave me that information.
I feel it's bullshit.
How's it bullshit? He said it.
Yeah, I know not what he said is bullshit. One thing that happens now in sports on every level, nobody wants to work towards anything. Everything is win now. You come in, win now. You don't win now, you're a failure. You're a bust. Get the hell out of here. 2-3 years, it should be gone. You know, well, we should win a championship in 2 years. We should win a championship in a year. Well, God damn it, you don't have a fucking talent to win a championship. You got Bradley Beal. Right now, you got Bradley Beal, Kuzma, Porzingis. Who do you have after that? What role players do you have after that that are good enough?
Well, you don't have to go to the role players after you name those three. Those three aren't getting past anything in the East. You don't even have to go to the role players.
Again, what are y'all trying to do? Are y'all trying to convince me that we should have kept Tommy Shepard? Because you really ain't doing a good job of it.
But hold on.
No. I'm not. I'm just saying that everybody on this podcast, the NBA world knows what the problem is in D.C. And that's number three. The other problem is, it's D.C. Nobody wants to come here.
And that's Zion's the point that
not,
I was
getting ready to make. Zion's not sitting on the bench holding out to go to the Wizards. The rumblings is the Knicks. The rumblings is always the Knicks, the Heat, the Lakers, the Clippers. That is never the Wizards. So you're already handicapped and tied up from who wants to play here. And then what Corey Kispert said is damning, because if you get here and what he said is true about what's going on in this locker room, that's already a recipe for disaster when these players come in. But you like KG said, this is 16, 20 years in the making. You can't change this, especially if your superstar is contributing, or your quote-unquote superstar is contributing to the problem. It'll never change. If your coach feels like he has to answer to the star on the team, and I know all of them do, but in this situation, Wes has no say. He has absolutely no say. He can't yell at nobody. He's almost as bad as Scott Brooks at this point. And it's not his fault. He's just being handcuffed by the organization and how they run, how they're running things. And that's not Tommy's fault. where they've been drafting, where they always finish, where they finish at, where they're drafting somewhere between 7 and 15, uh-oh, which is going to be another role player because they don't know how to find Steph Curry. They don't know how to find Kawhi Leonard. They don't know how to find Julius Randle. They don't know how to find their own Kuzma. They can't find these guys themselves. So it's an organizational failure. And I understand, look, it's sports. Somebody got to take the knife for it. Tommy Shepard did. But we're not, I said, two podcasts ago, I think we have a Dan Snyder situation here with the Wizards, with Bill and Ted Leonsi, kind of like that RG3 Dan Snyder situation. The same thing. I'm going straight to the owner. I'm not talking to the coach. I'm not talking to the GM. I'm going right to the owner. And that, until that problem gets solved, it doesn't matter if you bring Mark Jackson in here. It don't matter if you bring Danny Ainge as a GM. This organization will finish in the bottom five and will not make the play-in game because their problem is their star. That's where it starts at, and that's where it's going to end at. That problem's not going to get solved. That's a $250 million problem. Real expensive. But, hey, I'm just a podcast host. What do I know? You know, what do I know?
You're spitting the facts. And, again, I told y'all when this happened a couple weeks ago, when I saw the quote from Corey Kispert talking about a lack of accountability, a lack of a vision, a lack of just trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing, I told you right then and there. I said it. I came on the second I saw it, I said somebody should be fired.
Yep.
We can't run this back. I don't care who you are. I don't care what business you run. There's no way somebody can sit there and say, make that comment, and then your plan. And I think that's the other part. I think when Tommy Shepard went to the room to talk to Ted, and Ted asked him a couple times, like, what are we doing? What's the plan? And I think when he came back and said, we're going to run it back, I think Ted felt betrayed. You can't, I'm sorry, hold on, where's that one at? Oh, okay. And I quote, this season was disgusting and disappointment. Tommy Shepard's words. Tommy Shepard trying to get himself fired. Maybe he trying to spend the rest of his life in Cancun. Maybe he went to Puerto Rico and met a Puerto Rican sunshine, and he trying to move the family or just move there on his own. I don't know.
And I'm not trying to be funny, but what if Tommy wanted out like the rest of these players did?
Exactly. That's another point. Second point.
What if he, hey, you can say I'm resigning. You can say you fired me, whatever the case is.
I know.
And here's the thing. Here's my big issue with the Corey Kispert, what he said. It came from Corey Kispert, and I'm not dogging Corey Kispert as a personal player. It didn't come from Brad. If you having those big of issues, why isn't your star saying anything? If Corey Kispert doesn't say anything, I mean, we know on the outside that this organization is a sham, in shambles. But if Corey Kispert doesn't say anything, and like I said, for Corey Kispert to say that, knowing that, like, they can find another me next year, that is huge, man. I don't know if everybody knows how big that is coming from Corey Kispert. This man could be blackballed. He could be out of the league. You know, he's not a guy you need on your team. You could find him in any draft. And like I said, I'm not dogging it. I'm just saying he is a average role player. There's nothing special about Corey Kispert. But that came out of his mouth. So those are really big statements. And it tells you the dysfunction at Capital One Arena in D.C.
Hey, KG, go back on two clicks on the Eric Willard joint. All right, so let's start there. So, Eric, you know we talked about this, and I already told you when they fired, whatchamacallit, that it was Baby West or nothing. A, from a nostalgia standpoint. B, just because Ted doesn't invest in coaches. And I hope you guys don't get your hopes up too high because you're not getting – I heard two people talk about Masai Ujiri, not happening. because that's too much money. You got to pay that man more than 15 mil. They talked about the guy in Golden State. Not happening. Too much money. Now, if Ted comes out and does something power like that, more power to him. But what y'all need to get ready for is names like Calvin Booth, Trey John Langdon, Bryson Graham, Landry Fields, Peter Dinwiddie. These are all guys that are like either assistants or GMs that they are GM in title, but they're the second fiddle to somebody that's the team president. So get ready for that list of names. That's the group you're hunting from. Okay. That's a touche right there. He got that one.
And that's one of the, and when I was bringing up the players, the role players, that's what I was meaning. Nobody wants to come here. That is that Tommy Shepard fault?
No, but then that becomes his plan. See, like, all right, so let's think about Golden State before, like, when Steph was rolling his ankle all the time, and he had bad ankles. Wasn't nobody going there, but the difference was they drafted Klay, they got Draymond, and then they filled in on the sides with role players, and then that happened. It became something. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's Washington's problem is they've never put anything in place to entice somebody to come here. I mean, the best thing you had was Paul Pierce coming here for that 1 year when he called game. That was the best you had.
Let me throw this at you. This is crazy. Because under Ernie, you signed Gilbert Arenas.
And actually, that's the best signing because Gil was – there's a rule now on contracts because of Gil. Gil was drafted in the second round, didn't have a guaranteed second year on his deal, and the Wiz stepped in and gave him an extension or a contract that now it's there's actually a rule called the Gilbert Arenas rule to save teams from having to pay a second-round pick like they paid Gil. Gil came up.
Yeah, that is true. Now – he signed Gilbert Arenas. Now, this is back in 2003. Signed Gilbert Arenas. He brought back Mitchell Butler. He drafted Devin Harris and Peter John Ramos. Devin Harris never played for this team because he traded him, Christian Leighton, and Jerry Stackhouse to the Mavericks for Antoine Jameson. He signed Michael Ruffin, Anthony Pillar, Samaki Walker, LaRon Prophet, Damone Brown. He drafted Andre Blatch in 2005. Signed Antonio Daniels. You say Calvin Booth, he was signed here as a free agent.
Which we got, but we can't. I mean, proving the Ernie case doesn't help us. We're talking about Tommy Shepard and his four.
And
years.
I get that, but you have to look at the Ernie case because the Ernie case is what fucked him up. Why was Ernie able to come in and sign Gilbert Arenas?
No, the problem.
Why was he able to do that?
Hold on. The problem is that Tommy Shepard in his 4 years failed to draft players with any kind of impact. But it doesn't matter what Ernie did. Because
16 to do the same thing.
You can't, huh?
You gave Grunfeld 16 to do the same thing.
Well, but obviously Ted has something different. I keep telling you, you're not listening to what we're saying. Like BJ just told you the Kispert comments.
Yeah, I get that.
Hold on. I told you the comment from 4/12/22. You don't think, see, this is the part like I think you're missing is I think Ted tried to give him a lifeline. And I'm gonna say it this way and hear me out. Ted tried to give him a lifeline at the trade deadline. Ted saw the team was struggling, blah blah blah. And I guarantee you, Ted went to him and was like, we can either move somebody or we can try to make a run for it. And Tommy stood 10 toes deep on his plan and his people, and he decided to go for it. And if you decide to go for it and you don't make it, that's on you, homie. That's his fault. I don't care about the injuries. You said you was going to make it. Because I guarantee you they would have made moves. They would have moved Kuzma, or they would have moved Porzingis, or maybe they could have moved Brad. You never know. But the problem is Tommy stood on his belief that this was a good team. I think he even said it somewhere. I think he said, and I quote, we stayed pat at the All-Star break. When healthy, this is a good team.
Yeah, when healthy. But that's the name of the game.
But that's the game we took.
That's the anything.
But he failed on the gamble. The gamble was they've been saying all year to us. If you've listened to Tommy Shepard every time he's been interviewed, we're going to make a run for the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs. We got to make the playoffs. He didn't deliver. I don't care about the injuries. Injuries happen. All teams get injuries. Yes. But he's telling me that, hey, I got this wrapped together. You saw that little stretch we had of those 23 games. We good. And then we not good because now we're going down the stretch tanking so we can get better position for the draft. Like, no owner wants that. Tommy burnt his bridges.
The reason why I keep bringing up Ernie Grunfeld, because we talk about previous regimes. Now, my question to you was, how was Ernie Grunfeld able to sign Gill to that big-ass contract?
He actually had some foresight.
But how was he able to do it?
What do you mean? It was a loop. It was some loophole in the rookie thing.
If the previous regime wouldn't have unloaded Juwan Howard's contract to free up that money that year, he wouldn't have been able to sign Gill. He wouldn't have been able to get Caron Butler. He wouldn't have been able to trade for Antoine James and afford those three guys to form a big three. The previous regime put him in that position to be able to do that. Not saying it was a good thing, but foresight. Okay. Now, Tommy Shepard comes in. The previous regime has fucked this whole entire team for 16 years. Royally, didn't even spit on it. No lube. Drafting foreign players that never played for this organization. Wasting draft picks that could have been developed. A boy named Jan. Petrov. I could go on about all the foreign players that were drafted that never played here. And then what happens? You got to try to fix all of that in 14 years. I'm sorry, in 4 years. And nobody wants to come here. You can't do it through free agents, so you got to try to do it through trades. But you're trying to keep your superstar happy at the same time. Like, God damn, what the hell you want the man to do? Turn water to fucking wine? Like, honestly. That's where I have a problem at. Because you kind of, he's kind of handcuffed and everybody, well, I'm glad to see him go. Well, damn, what the fuck did the nigga do? What the fuck did he do that made it so, you know, bad that he's here? He's trying. Like, damn. Sometimes pieces don't fit. In order to make a cake, what do you have to do? You got to break a few eggs. Right now, they're breaking eggs trying to make a fucking cake. Just some of the eggs are fucking bad.
Would you rather have Johnny Davis or Jalen Williams or Jalen Duren?
As far as AJ Griffin. A who?
AJ Griffin.
Johnny Williams.
Johnny Davis.
Johnny Davis.
Or you'd rather have Jalen Williams, kid from the Thunder, Jalen Duren, AJ Griffin for the Hawks. I mean, like, you got to put – only reason I'm saying those names and saying those things is, like, there are players that have been drafted after the Wizards drafted, and those teams are getting bigger impact. Look at the Pacers. The Pacers getting impact from some of their guys. Like, we can sit here and say nobody wants to come here. Well, if that's the case, then we have to invest more in our draft picks and in how we get to the decision of who we draft. That's the kicker. If you know you're handcuffed, you're not going to just sit there and be handcuffed. You're going to try to figure a way to get out of the handcuffs. So I get you saying that, yeah, Ernie put him in a bad position. But he also got to – he can't get trapped in a wet paper bag. His draft picks have made no impact. Zero. We got four guys who aren't punching above their body weight. So if you know your main artery of getting talent into your system is through the draft, then that has to be your focal point. That has to be your focus. So maybe you become a person that, hey, when you make a deal, you can have people throw in first round picks. Yeah, they may be late. They may come with conditions, but now you're giving yourself more shots at finding a player. I don't believe in the NBA draft, to be honest with you. I believe it's one of the worst drafts of all the sports because after you get past a certain number, you shooting dice, you shooting wind in the mirror. It's like Russian roulette. That's the term I want to use. It's Russian roulette. You lucky. Sometimes you lucky. Sometimes you're not. So, that's what it is.
And I agree with you with that. Let's jump into these, some of these comments real quick.
The curse of Abe Poland.
Come on, go slow him down. Yeah, curse of Abe Poland. God,
curse of Abe Boulay. What does that mean? Oh boy. BJ, can you hear me? No, nobody can hear me.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
So I guess that's on his side.
Yeah, he having some issues, some trouble.
All right. But yeah, I mean, I know we keep going back to Ernie, but my whole thing, and I think you said it a couple times, is just I just don't want to put it on Ernie because this guy's had an opportunity, and 4 years is kind of short, yes, in some instances, but I think it actually becomes 20 years because he was here when Ernie was here. So it's like you got to break some part of the cycle. You got to give them something else because this thing isn't working out. No matter how you are trying to make it work, it's not working the way you're doing it. So I think he has to shake it up. But then he scares me as well with them trying to shake it up. Because I don't know if he sees the faults in his plan. I see a person that's not going to tank. So as much as the fans want him to trade off pieces and do other things, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he said it in his in the press release. He was talking about they didn't make the playoffs, and our goal is to make the playoffs every year. Well, right there tells me you're comfortable with being somewhere between 6 and 10 as long as you make the playoffs. That's his whole goal. His goal hasn't gone beyond that to championships. And I don't know if he doesn't feel like he has the time to get there, but he's definitely not giving himself the opportunity just in the way he's talking about this process. He's not telling me that, or it doesn't sound like he's going to shoot for the moon on this next GM hire. He's going to find the right guy. And y'all brought up a name that I had actually thought about. And the only reason I didn't bring it up is because Ted said he was going outside the organization. But I think somewhere in the near future, Antoine Jameson may be the GM of this team at some point in time. Because he's already doing some of the legwork now. So that's another possibility or another log to throw on that fire. Because, again, Ted doesn't spend a lot of money in certain places.
And Ted has always been that owner that, hey, you know, we make a buzz in the playoffs, cool, make a little extra money. But like you said, he doesn't have championship aspirations. I think they tripped into – I think he's a little bit more vested into the Capitals, and they tripped into that championship in 19. And, you know, but you would think with one of the greatest players to hit the ice, you would have been – in contention a lot more than what they were. And then the Wizards are like the side piece to him. It's entertaining. It's good to come into town. He can invite his friends there. They have a good enough team to field and maybe beat the top teams in the league every now and again. This is what Abe Poland brought to the table. Hey, we're good enough. We could beat, we'll beat the Lakers every now and again. We'll beat the Bulls. We'll beat, you know, hey, come see the Bulls. Come see the Lakers. This is the circus show. This is a circus show. This is what this is. And this is what Ted has made it. And it's like you said, by what he said in a press conference, it doesn't seem like that this team is going to break this down and build it from scratch. If you don't break this down and build it from scratch, we're looking at a team that's barely going to skip into the 10th spot and the play-in and go get waxed when they get there.
So you've already talking to the point. That's That's not going to happen. So Ted's never going to blow this up. And I think for some of us, we have to realize his really only way to blow this up is moving Brad. Like, he can move Porzingis. He can move the other guys. That's not going to be – well, it's not going to feel like him blowing it up. What's going to make it feel like him blowing it up is the move to move Brad. Now, Lee Ice has a great question. How do you fire the GM and not the coach? It's Ted. So Ted has already in place. I'm telling you, Ted is comfortable with, and this is going to be one of the contingencies. This is why I don't think you're going to get a top guy. Because I think, like Dan Snyder at times, the contingency is, this is my coach. Can you work with him as the GM? Go ahead.
Just to ask a question, you said Ted wouldn't blow this up, but what he did with the former big three of Jameson, Butler, and Gil, he blew that up, but he waited until Abe died to blow that up.
That was forced.
Because, well, yeah, the Gil thing.
Gil's injury forced that.
No. Gun incident forced that. Because if it wasn't for the gun incident, he would have never been gone.
And Poopgate. Yeah, exactly.
And Poopgate. But he waited until Abe died to get rid of Antoine Jameson and those guys. Because Poland wasn't having it. And Eric Wheeler, that's the thing. Rebuild. DC Sports has a problem with rebuilding, but damn it, we've been rebuilding for how long?
I don't think the Nats have a problem. I think the Nats have told you they may not use the word rebuild, but they said they're revamping. So they're a year or two away from their construction or whatever getting done. Like, you see promise, but yeah. I think the Caps kind of showed you this year that they did some form of rebuilding a little bit, because at the trade deadline, they moved some people that were on contracts, like I told you, that were going to be free agents. So they moved them to get some kind of capital. I think the biggest problem this city has from a team standpoint is they're reactionary and they're not proactive. So they will react to a situation that they put themselves into and then act like, oh, we fixed the problem. That was the Ernie Grunfeld era. He would make a problem, fix the problem, and then be like, oh, see what we did and see how we made this better. And I think that's the problem. I think Ted's not going to allow him. And when I say him, that's Wes Unseld Jr. Ted's not going to pay him without him coaching. So you stuck with that, even if it's just for a year. Now, you can come back after that year and figure out what you want to do with the head coach. But Ted's not paying nobody to sit at home and watch TV, watch Young and the Restless, while y'all got to play basketball. That's not happening.
And Mrs. Boss BJ, when I said you got to break eggs to make a cake, and the eggs don't fit, she said, yep, sure do. Can't make anyone happy. We already talked about Brad being a Robin and not being a leader, because Eric Wheeler is on fire today. Brad is not a leader, and that's been proven. Eric Wheeler also said Ted is loyal to a fault, no different than Abe. And finally, the Nats only blew up the roster because they were cheap as fuck. Yes. Yes,
you can't be cheap if you offer a man $440 million. God damn, what you want? I mean, come on, dog.
Hold on.
Hold up. The other stuff, they were being cheap. They've been cheap, and they're jerks because Ted unfortunately was trying to buy this for like $2 billion, and he turned them that they got turned down. So I don't know what they want as far as the number goes in terms of what they would sell for. But the sooner that somebody just goes up there and pulls the plug out of whatever keeping Angelos alive, that might speed up the process of getting this Masson deal done. I'm not condoning that. I'm just saying, allegedly, if that happened, that could speed up the Masson thing. That's all I'm saying.
Accidents happen every day, B. That's my phone. But let me talk about the Nets real quick. That's got a question for both of you gentlemen and everybody listening as well. Why is Jason Wirth's name in the ring of Nationals Park?
Because he's the person that changed the whole thing. He gave them an identity. He showed baseball. He was the person that they signed that basically told baseball that this organization was ready to try to be a contender. Because then it started to trickle down. They signed Scherzer, I think, next. I think after that, they started making some deals. So they showed the world they were ready to be contenders or try to step up and be contenders. Because the year, what was that? I'm getting my years mixed up, but I think it was 10. They weren't supposed to be that good, and they actually played a lot better. It was 10 or 11, and then they ended up in the playoffs in 12, and that started the whole thing. Because if you remember, in 12, game 4 versus the Cardinals, there's a home run hit by Jason Worth to send that to game 5. He gave them the chance. Worth is a figure that he brought legitimacy and brought leadership to this program. Stuff that Josh said Brad couldn't do. And that's why he's up in the ring.
Brad hasn't done
it. He can't do it, according to y'all.
I'm
just going by the room I'm sitting in and listening. I heard him be a Robin at least 15 times. So I'm just going with the crew.
That's a disrespect to
you. You are what you are.
Hey, like I told you before, he could be what's that Wonder Twin that turns into a bucket of ice or a thing of water. That might be his suit.
Oh, okay, BJ. If that's a disrespect to Robin, well, shit, Nightwing wouldn't be better.
He can't be any hero on a Marvel or DC roster. He has to be one of them. Those toys you go in Family Dollar and see that look like Marvel and DC that you can afford that's only $5. That's Bradley Bill.
Nah, he could be Hawkeye. Hawkeye don't do nothing but shoot arrows. That's it.
But he could be Hawkeye. He hit.
He could be Black Widow. He could be Black Widow.
Nah, I can't give him main roster. LeBron James, you know, Kawhi Leonard, these guys are main roster. You know, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry. He's not getting on the main roster. He's like, look, we're gonna do this 2B show, and you're gonna play this superhero on this 2B show.
Don't do that to him, Eric. I'm a Darkwing Duck fan. Now you're not gonna call him Darkwing Duck. He is not Drake Mallard. He is not him. Bradley Beal equals Aquaman.
Yes, that's the best one.
I don't think my wife like gonna like that one. But here's my question. No matter how I feel about it, no matter what's no matter how it goes, right? Who's next?
I told you it's gonna be some young guy because Ted's not gonna pay top dollar. So it's guys like Landry Fields, it's a Trajan Langdon, it's guys like that are they're on the cusp, but they haven't been able to run their own franchise, their own team, because there's a team president in their way. So I think that's going to be the deal they make, because you can stop all the daydreaming and wet dreams for Masai and Jury, and I think it's Donnelly out in Golden State. You can stop that wet dream right there. That's your alarm clock waking you up, because that wet dream is never coming to fruition.
Okay. Well, that's not my wet dream. My wet dream
is
way more sexier than that. But
you know what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, I do. But
stay focused. Stay focused.
I am. But you know what my dream is. You know who I want to see come here. You got a team that could score 130 a game, right?
Okay.
They just can't play no defense. And we already talked about it. It's not going to happen. I say Mark Jackson be the best coach to come here. It's not going to happen, though. Mark Jackson is not walking through that door. Russell is not walking through that door.
Do you remember, and I'm going to go off tangent for a second, but it fits the moment. Like, I think it was when they did the Scooby-Doo cartoon when they were all kids, right? Every time... Yeah, there was a version where they were like...
A pup named Scooby-Doo. What do you mean? Right, I watched it every Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
But if you remember, every time something happened...
It was Red Herring.
Fred would always say Red Herring.
Yes.
Mark Jackson is your red herring.
But wait.
Every time we get in the show.
Wait. Actually, one time, it was actually red herring. Maybe if I say it enough, I can get that one time.
Okay. Sorry about the tangent, but yeah.
Oh, no, I love it. Because, you know, we're talking nostalgia, man. Let you in on a little secret about myself. A pup named Scooby-Doo, the theme song is actually one of my ringtones.
All right. I think this is a safe space. So, I mean, it's only us and whoever's listening.
Yeah, pup named Scooby-Doo is that shit. I love it. I still watch it from time to time on YouTube. When I'm feeling down, I lay in the bed and put the covers over my head and actually watch Pup Named Scooby-Doo. Gets me out of dark spaces, man.
MB breaking into a soccer player. I think he need help. I don't know. This ain't good. 63-63, Philly, Brooklyn.
Mm.
Third quarter.
Here's my question.
All right.
If Doc Rivers get fired, do you bring Doc Rivers in?
You keep trying to spend Ted's money. Ted ain't trying to spend that money.
You want to win? You got
to see what Ted wants to do. Like, you got to realize, I mean, I think they just fired the hockey coach.
Laviolette.
Yeah, they parted ways. They wasn't bringing him back.
No.
And if you heard him on the Sports Junkies, they asked if he wanted to come back to D.C. And Laviolette almost told them that he had to go save his pet fish from drowning. That's about all he said in that whole statement. So I knew he wasn't coming back when I heard that conversation. But again, that's another situation where they wouldn't cheat. They should have paid Trotz.
Yes. But instead of paying Trotz in the beginning.
Instead of paying Trotz, they thought, oh, let's keep this new hot thing, Reardon in place, and let's go with him. He stunk. There was somebody in between Reardon and Laviolette. I can't remember who it is.
Shit.
It doesn't matter. So, again, that's another situation where, again, them just being cheap and not using the resources, that's where the struggle is. And I think the other thing you got to worry about when you're hiring this GM, he's not going to be team president. This person is coming in being just the GM because they have a team president over the business side. So they're not worrying about you coming in and taking care of everything else. They got their marketing. They have their other stuff done. All your job is when you come to Washington is you're managing the basketball team. So that's another obstacle in them that's going to stand between them and a highly qualified candidate. So that's why I'm telling you now, I said this when they were looking for coaches, don't get your hopes on some of these dream scenarios because it's not going to happen because they're not going to make that investment.
I get it. Even though I don't agree with this firing, I think I'm on the other side. Now, mind you, I'm not a Wizard fan. I'm a Wizard supporter. I'm a Bulls fan. But I was all on board with Wes Unseld Jr. getting his opportunity to coach here. Because I thought, hey, this would be a good first coach, you know, first coaching, head coaching job and see what he can do. And they started out hot this season. They started out hot last season. Just couldn't hold on to it. Honestly, and my heart of hearts, do I believe he's coming back next year? No. I think his office and his desk is already cleaned out.
I think he's staying. Again, because he has 1 year left. And I just don't see Ted paying him to sit on the beach in Cancun or in the DR sipping Mai Tais, watching sunsets while the Wizards go through their 82-game run.
I really think that he got – him and Steven Silas got the wrong end of the deal this season.
Well, Steve Silas got a bunch of puppies that unless you get that dog whisperer dude on those rookies, I mean, Gil said it. Not Gil. I'm sorry, John Wall said it best to them guys. The way you play basketball, you would never be on any other team. You just lucky you ain't Houston.
Yeah.
You know, so that tells you the structure, the lack of structure, the issues that they're gonna have, or they have going forward.
And the thing is, but these are two young coaches. Now, Wes Unseld Jr. been in the organization for years in some capacity. Like, he was even here during the Jordan years. Like, Wes Unseld Jr. been in this organization a long time. And to finally get the recognition as head coach, awesome. Steven Silas, to go through the season that he – now, when he took over – when Steven Silas took over in Houston, he had John Wall. He had some players. And if I'm not mistaken, he even – when he took over, they – did they – no, they didn't have – they still had Harden.
Nah.
They didn't – Harden was already gone?
Yeah, Harden was gone already.
Okay, so was it – who was it? It was Wall or was it Westbrook? I forget, but he had some people that he could probably work with. And then he comes into it 2 weeks later. He has nothing. He has a bunch of young babies. He got
puppies. Yeah, I think they had him when he signed, but I think they made the moves to get rid of all those guys because they were doing the teardown. And let's talk about that, because if you're a Houston Rockets fan, you think you should be on the other side of this teardown and starting to show some promise, but you're not.
No.
You know, if you're a Detroit fan, you know, Wizards fans crying for the tear it down and blow it up. Well, they blew it up, but what have they done? They're 4 years into a blow up. Maybe five.
And here's my thing.
Let's talk about Orlando. I mean, Orlando's another team that's tried to blow it up. Like, twice. And the question is, like, how long are teams or fans going to be willing to wait for these blow ups?
And so, that goes to the point I made earlier. Everything has to happen now. You blow the team up at the end of this season. They expect to be championship contenders by the middle of next season. Everything with society. It ain't got nothing to do with generation. Everything with society is now. I want it now. When I go out and buy a game, I want to be good at it now. When I go out and buy 2K, I want to be a 99 now. Everything is now. When we get a new coach, I want to be a championship contender now. Nobody ever, and it's hurting the game. It's hurting sports because nobody ever gets to put their thumbprint on a team anymore. Nobody ever gets to grind it out. And you go from being an also-ran for 20 years and you think, oh, well, you know, after 20 years of dysfunction, we're going to be fine. We're going to be championship contenders. It doesn't work like that all the time.
Well, let's take a case study on the Philadelphia Eagles. If you go back two years ago, before Hurts became a starter, they were ready to run Howie Roseman out the building. They thought Howie Roseman was a joke. I watched their 2019, I think it's called All or Nothing on Amazon. Like, those people didn't like Howie Roseman. They thought he was the worst GM in the world. But he had a plan. He stuck to it. They move, of course, later on they move off of Wentz. They get Hurts. They had a strategy of always drafting offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They built for the trenches out. And now you got a team that probably is going to be good for the next 5-6 years. And they acquired picks and they made things happen. They got rid of their problem because they recognized their problem. And now maybe Bill can have a Wentz-like effect on this program, and if they allow you to get rid of Wentz, Bill, then maybe you can grow. But that's not always the case, and that might not be the situation.
No.
Somebody's got to talk to Ted and convince Ted that no stone goes unturned this offseason. And if they can't do that, then you're not going to get the results you're looking for.
Here's my thing. With Philly, they have when they went on that run to win the Super Bowl, they were playing really well that whole entire season. And, of course, nobody wanted Howie Roseman there, but then they win a Super Bowl. Then Frank Reich gets a head coaching job, and what did this team do? Go right to the toilet. And I said it then. I said once Frank Reich left, I said that team was going down because he was the guy. He worked those players, and he had the finger on the pulse. And Doug Peterson didn't win without him in Philly. You come back up. Now you're back to being Super Bowl contenders. But that's the ebb and flow of how it is. You may have a Super Bowl hangover that lasts a season or two, and then you come right back after you retool.
Yeah, but the other thing they did was they made moves to acquire picks.
And that's another thing.
They've had two first round picks in each of the last two drafts. That's you know, they've had multiple picks, and that's where I'm talking about. And we're going to talk about this a lot next week when I start talking about types and your profile. Like, you got to have a profile. You got to be the – if your thing is you're going to be a mover and shaker on draft day, then do your thing. Move back. Acquire picks. Maybe set yourself up for the following year. Do those things, because once you do it, it's perfect. But this team, if we're talking about the Wizards have yet to, like, acquire picks and have multiple picks in any draft that I can remember.
They always have the first and the second.
I used to always make jokes that when the second round pick came up, I was like, they about to sell this for cash considerations. And Lord knows that most of the time, 9 times out of 10, that's what they did. That's where your role player comes from.
Yep.
Your role player comes from that guy that you draft, especially since you're drafting early, that guy that's at 46 and 47, you know, maybe you can put him at the end of your bench and get something out of him.
But that's the problem that the Wizards, it don't matter who the GM is. The Wizards, if you think about it, and we can just go 90s to now, I can name on one hand the best draft picks that they had that actually did something.
Right. That's the problem.
Juwan Howard. Rasheed Wallace was here for a cup of coffee, so I really can't count him. But Juwan Howard, John Wall, even Bradley Beal. Who else? Help me. Calvert Chaney, maybe.
You're reaching.
Yeah, I'm almost at scraping the bottom of the barrel,
and that's the problem. That's been their biggest problem. Is
we're talking 33 years, and I only named four players that actually really did something,
right?
That they actually drafted,
right?
That's a problem. But here, when you had the draft at two rounds, and it was an abundance of talent, huh?
I think I posted something 1 year. I don't know if it's in my memories from the day or not, but it was something like, I think they were like 44 and 38. And like, that's like their fifth best record in the last like 40 some odd years.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sad part about this. Like, I did a case study a few years ago as a part of a project to try to be the reporter or the a writer for 106.7. And oh my gosh, God, sham God. But yeah, so that was the thing. They just kept having these things where, I mean, this team wasn't even over 500 for a good portion of the time.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing about it.
Oh, and Eric Wheeler, don't forget about John Hot Plate Williams. That was my guy.
We got Terry Catledge. Mm-hmm. We got Charles Jones. The AJ Englishes of the world, Ladell Echols. I can name some early, some 90s and 80s Wizards.
Yeah.
What's my man, Steve, is it Coltrane, the dude with the little hop step?
Colton. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Steve Colton, because he had it was like he crossed on the wrong leg. Yeah. And he got you every time. Isaiah Thomas said that's the hardest thing to defend. Yeah. Steve Colton, that was his name.
Yeah, you had Muggsy, you had Michael Adams.
Yeah,
I mean, Muggsy
had a cup of coffee here. Michael Adams, I think Michael Adams goes down as one of the best point guards to ever play in DC.
Oh, dear Jesus!
And look,
dear Jesus, shoot me now.
Yeah,
take me to the cross.
I'm not saying he top three. I mean, you know,
take me to the cross.
You had Earl Monroe. I think Earl Monroe was the best.
Let's not even do this exercise. I don't want to get depressed with DC. The 17 fans that I have on Facebook that are Wizards fans, I don't want them depressed. I don't want them calling me all at the same time, standing on the same bridge together, holding hands. So, nah, let's not even go through that road, man.
But we talking 33 years. We can just say from 90 on. But even when you name the 80s players, this team, this Wizards team has a habit. And you talk about types. They have a type. What they do is they'll get either a player that's at the tail end,
right,
or a player that hasn't hit the mountaintop yet. They haven't hit their peak, and they'll let them go before they hit the peak. They go elsewhere and hit their peak. You had late 80s, early 90s, you had Bernard King here.
Moses was here.
Moses was here. Bernard King, Moses, and Jeff Malone. That was your big three. And now Bernard King was coming off of a knee injury, but he was still a dog. They said he was still, you still had to pick him up at half court because he was still pulling on you. He would still go by you. He was a dog. You couldn't do nothing with that. You didn't even make the playoffs with that squad.
I mean, again, we're talking about history, but I mean,
history keeps repeating itself over and over.
Right. And that's, I think, if this was a true, if two yesterday was a true seminal moment, then Tommy Shepard's going to do something. I mean, but firing Tommy Shepard is going to be something that puts this team at the footsteps of doing something dynamic. But again, the thing that always scares me and has always scared me in this process is Ted just doesn't, I don't know why he doesn't invest in coaching or invest in the GMs. And that's where I'm going to get scared again. Because he really didn't. I think I told Eric Willard the second they fired Grunfeld that Tommy Shepard was going to be the guy because he just did it on the other side with the Caps. He let that guy go and he just went to the next office and signed McClellan. History repeats itself. So he did the same thing. He went down to the hole. Instead of knocking at the first door, he knocked at the second. Hey, Tommy, right. Being a GM, give it a shot and boom.
All right.
Any more comments?
Just a lot of laughing from Eric Willard at the name of all these players. He named God, Sham God. What was that? Terrence Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Denivel Mel Turpin. You know, we can name names how they screwed the pooch in the draft probably for the last 40 years. I think the only good draft prior to John Wall, Rasheed Wallace. And
Gugliotta gave you some good years.
Huh?
Gugliotta gave you some good years. But then in the midst of that Gugliotta, there's a Tom Hammond. There's some stuff, man.
If we just go back to 85 in the lottery era, the Wizards have only had the number one pick twice. Kwame Brown in 2001, John Wall, and what was that, 10? Something like that. And what's crazy is
that's why that stat about since Bill, and I think Bill was 13 or
12.
So since Bill, since 2012, you've had no first round pick get a second contract. That's deplorable.
Yeah.
That shows you how you don't have a foundation. And again, I keep going back, and you know, I'm a harp on this, so I turn blue in the face. But whenever you tell me that Anthony Gill is the next best option over the four guys I got in the first round, I got a problem. I got issues. I don't care what's going on. I just can't do it. Won't do it.
Can't win with him.
Can't win with him.
But final comment. This comes from offline. Okay. CJ Chris in the Doc Walker group. I posted live in the Doc Walker group. And he said, for some reason, the basketball guys gave him KCP, Dinwiddie, and Montrezl. Kuz was killing it. He was playing in big games. They were one of the top three or four teams at the All-Star break. And because Bill didn't want to share the ball, they blew it up for no reason. They had Bryant and Rudy come off the bench along with Gafford. That was the team they should have had supported. But they kept trying to play Ivy and Kispert, whatever their names are.
Yes, sir. See?
And I got no beef with it because here's my problem.
The problem that we have is in 4 years, Ivy will actually be a ball player. The problem is, can the coach or can the person that's here keep him around for that time period?
Well,
like, it's literally like this. It's like the Wizards are waiting on, because Ivy, I think, is close to like a James Wood for the Nationals. It's like he's young. He's 19, 20 years old. And you got to wait for him to get that spurt to get to be that player. And that's probably me at year when he's 22, 23. The problem question is he going to still be a Wizard at 22 and 23?
You know, whoever the Wizards' new GM is, if they get a new coach, the first thing they have to ask this team is, do you want to win right now?
They told you that.
No, I mean, but you gotta ask that team that, do you want to win right now? Or do you want to keep reading your press clippings about, you know, we're the best back quarterly? You want to keep looking at shit like that? Or do you want to win right now? Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow too far away. All we got is win.
All right, Ray.
That's all you got. And that's the mentality you gotta have. That's the mentality you gotta have in life. It's all about right now. If you can't give it all up for me right now, I don't want you in this building. Get the fuck out. That's how it is. If you're not gonna put it all out there for me and play through injuries, you're not gonna play through pain, I don't need you here. Leave.
You gonna do the other one too? About the line? I mean, you in your Ray Lewis bag.
I mean, I'm always in that. I wake up to that every morning. Every morning, Ray Lewis wakes me up. Same thing he said. He said, eagles fly higher than any other bird. When eagles see a bird flying with them and they up high, they know it's another eagle.
That's right.
Show me your crown, and I can show you your future. I believe in that. I believe in it. Like, I'm about to go put my cleats on, my eye black, and my helmet. Let's go.
Nah, then you're going to tear your knee up and you're going to see you with crutches coming into the show.
What's wrong with you? Didn't stretch first.
Yeah, them days, them glory days is gone. But nah, close it out. Yeah, I just felt like Tommy made his seat hotter than it had to be by some of the comments he made in the press. And he kept pressing the point that they're a good team. They're going to do this. This is what we should be doing. And I think at a certain point, I think Ted took some time and just sat back and thought about it. And then with the Kispert interview, like I said before, once I saw that, I don't know, man. I just felt like I couldn't. If I'm running a business and that's the things I hear from my employees, I got to get rid of the person that's managing my employees. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I got to leave it alone because it's done. Do I agree with it? No. But this is not my team, not my money. If I had it my way, a lot of stuff would be different. But I don't have it my way all the time. This ain't Burger King.
Yeah, so, you probably have him as the bullet still. You go back to it. Go ahead. I don't mean to sidetrack you. That's another show. Go ahead.
I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to let the moment pass. It built up, and I'll let it pass. But this team needs an identity. If you notice, the Wizards haven't had an identity since the last big three. They don't have an identity.
Right.
You know, playoff runs are great. You know, when you go to the playoffs, beautiful. But when you're getting bounced in the first round every year, shit ain't so sweet. I would love to see the Wizards. I've been saying this for years. I would love to see them get to the conference finals. I would love to see them get to the finals. Even if they got swept in the finals, I would love to see them get there so they can get hungry again. I want to see Brad Beal hungry. And I people say, well, what you going to do if Brad ever hear you say that? I don't give a fuck. I got an opinion like everybody else. If I know you're talented and you're holding talent hostage, I'm going to call you out on it. I would expect as a man for you to do the same thing to me. If Bradley Beal came to my job and was like, yeah, you ain't doing that good enough. You could do that better. I know you can do it better. I'm not going to get mad at him. I'm going to say, God damn, you believe in me more than I believe in myself. It makes me want to work harder. That's a motivation to me when somebody believes in you and tell you you can be better than what you are. But I'm from a different generation. Way different generation. But we took constructive criticism and we ran with it. We made ourselves better. We didn't say you was hating on me. That was my generation. So if he ever hears this and he gets upset, I'm not going to apologize. Because haters, if I'm a hater, then I should be your motivation then. That's it and that's all. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. The boss BJ had to drop off. He had things to do. The Midnight Rider pulling a double tonight, or you done for the night?
I don't know, man. I might shoot you. I might ask you a question and see if I should do one.
Okay.
I might try to throw one because I can throw it on at least a live or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I thought about it, but we'll see. We'll talk about it, man.
All right. So thank you for joining us tonight. Everybody that commented.
Yeah.
And everything. Appreciate it. Please come back on Thursday. I only know we got lined up for Thursday. We might find something else to argue about.
Today's Thursday. Oh, Lord, it is. So we going into Saturday WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. You serious? Where did this week go?
We Saturday WrestleManiacs. We got the Sunday Rise.
Yeah. So the Midnight Rider won't be back till Sunday, but geez, I'll be back Saturday if I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Damn. All right, tomorrow's Friday.
Yo, this show breaks my week up perfectly. So that's how I know what day of the week is.
All right. So catch up with us on Saturday for the WrestleManiacs. But until then, that's the Midnight Ride. I'm the big guy KG. We don't do no overtime, y'all. We are out of here.